Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace Michael, and we welcome you to our weekly Bible study and prayer, our Pastoral Connect. Today is Tuesday, March the 16th in the year 2021, and we are grateful to God for this opportunity to come together again with you to share the Word of God as we go through this journey of 2021 with the affirmation, it shall be done in 21. The basis of it is Matthew chapter 21, verses 20 through 21, as well as even Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21, and the book of Romans. Now I'm trying to remember the Romans verse. Sometimes you forget these things. I'll pray for Pastor tonight in Jesus' mighty name. I believe it's Romans chapter 4, verse 20 through 21. Again, that's Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 through 21, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21, and Romans chapter 4, verse 20 through 21. It shall be done in 21. Before we go any further, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads with us for a moment of prayer, and then we will begin our continuing study with the subtopic, Progressing Through the Pain. Let's look to the Lord for a moment of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor your presence and we thank you, knowing that if it had not been for you on our side, oh God, where would we be? We cannot thank you enough for your mercies. We will not allow circumstance, time, or the change in society to cause us to allow our praise to be diminished or our devotion to be lessened. We thank you with fervency of worship and with a committed walk and lifestyle. We love you, Lord. We thank you for how you have kept us and preserved us. And even tonight, how you speak to our hearts, even through the word of God. Your word resonates within us. And I pray that even tonight, as we go through the word of God, that you would minister to every listener. Bless them beyond measure. Give them revelation knowledge. Allow the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened, that they may see the practical and powerful application of your incredible, immutable word. We thank you for this time. We thank you for these precious souls that have gathered on this night, and even those that will lead us to the throne of grace in power prayer on this day, the 16th of March. Let your name be exalted, let your power and anointing be felt, and we will not forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let faith be increased tonight, even as the word is read, and someone be strengthened as a result of it. We, the children of God, bless your name and thank you, Father, for all these blessings we ask in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you tonight. We are certainly grateful to God for his goodness and mercy. And tonight we are going to be focusing, upon the highlighted verses that we're zooming in on. And so I hope you all can see it clearly. I wanted to make sure that you can see it clearly. I did get some feedback that when we shifted to the PowerPoint version of the presentation, that it was not easy to be seen. So hopefully tonight, whether you are using a tablet or whether you are using a cell phone or whether you are using a laptop, if you are viewing the presentation, hopefully you're able to see it clearly at this point. We're going to start at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. I'm going to ask that I see people are putting messages in the chat in Zoom to volunteer for the reading. I'd like to ask, I see somebody has volunteered for the last one. And they've actually already are a reader for tonight. And so I'd like to ask if they would not mind that I let somebody else pick that up. We've got almost 20 people on the line right now. And so there's lots of folks that can help out to read. And I'm going to ask that you all would engage. Some of you have not read before. I'm going to ask that you would be active participants. It's important that you open your mouth and read the Word of God. I've asked those of you on the line to read these passages of Scripture out loud, because faith cometh by hearing. And when you get the practice of saying it out of your mouth here, it will be easier for you to practice it when you're by yourself. I want this Word to start making a difference right now. And so, beloved, we're going to begin our reading. We've got readers for verse number 14, verse number 15, and I need readers to volunteer for verses 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. So please start putting in the chat the verses that you'd like to volunteer for. You can put the number. You don't have to type out the reference. You can put the number, which would make it a little easier for you to select. I see someone selecting verse number 16. Okay, thank you so much. I'm going to start putting names in there. Okay. Somebody else. I need verse number, 17 through 20. Can I get some volunteers on the line? I see verse 16. I got somebody for 16. Thank you for 17. I got somebody for 17. Somebody for 18. Okay, 18, you already got one. Bless your heart. Can I get some other volunteers? Can I get some other volunteers? Folks that have not read before, or at least people who have not read yet. I'm going to stop the share for one quick second. Actually, I'm just going to bring that down. Okay, perfect. So it automatically refreshed the list. Perfect. So I need 18, 19, and 20. I need volunteers for verse 18, 19, and 20. Can I get volunteers for that right away? 18, thank you. I will certainly read the verses, their locations, when we get to it, so that those that are listening will know exactly where we are throughout the lesson. I have not forgotten that we've got listeners on the line. And so I need two more volunteers, verse 19 and verse 20. Can I have two more volunteers quickly, please? Two more volunteers quickly so that we can proceed. Two more volunteers quickly, please. Thank you. Verse number 19. And I need one more reader for verse number 20, please. One more reader for verse number 20. I need a volunteer to read the Word of God tonight. Another volunteer. One more volunteer to read the Word of God for verse number 20. Thank you. Oh, you're already on the list. Bless your heart there. I just need somebody else that has not already volunteered. There's quite a bit of you on the line, and I don't want to leave anyone out, and I want all of you to actively engage. So again, I need one more volunteer, someone else that has not already volunteered, to step up and read the Word of God. One more volunteer. Someone to read the Word of God tonight. There's quite a bit of you out there. I'm going to proceed so that we don't delay any longer. There's quite a bit of you here that could be able to do this. And I pray that by the time we get to it, we'll have a reader ready to go. At this time, we're going to continue where we left off last week. Today, we're starting at verse number 14. And I'm going to read the whole list of verses again for our listeners so that they can have it and they'll be able to follow as we proceed through. Verse number 14 is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Verse number 15 is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Verse number 16 is Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Again, verse number 16 is Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Verse number 17 is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 15. Verse number 18 is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Again, that is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Verse number 19 is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Again, verse number 19 is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 19. And then finally, verse number 20, for which I'm still looking for a volunteer to read. I was hoping that somebody might have volunteered at this time. Verse number 20 is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. These are the final verses for this final part, progressing through the pain. It shall be done in 21. We all know that when we make up our mind to move forward in the things of God, adversity will always raise its ugly head. There is no question that the enemy of our soul does not want us to progress and will do everything within his power, using any means he can, to discourage, to distract, to deflate, to disenfranchise, to dishearten, to disconnect you, not only from the things of God, but even from the people of God, to bring division in the midst, dissension, and all kinds of things that will tear the people of God apart. But the devil is a liar. The Spirit of God, knowing the things of the enemy, because we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, the Lord is preparing us, and in some cases reminding us of what it's going to take to get it done. I feel something in my spirit stirring up already. Somebody need to put it in their notes. I am determined to get it done in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, Mother. Okay, Mother T is on the line. God bless you, Mother T. Amen. She's going to take the last verse. Let me just get this ready. Mother Audrey Thompson. God bless you, Mother. Excuse me. And now we're going to zoom back in so we can get started. Okay. Now, where I have made a notation concerning the versions, you can read the King James Version, because in some of the translations, the way that they break out the verses is not always verse for verse to the King James. Sometimes the next translation is in like in a paragraph and a range of verses. So it's not a clear delineation or clear association which verse from the King James is matched with the portion in the other translation. So don't worry about that. You can read it in the King James. I've made those notations here for extra edification, that you can see that there is actually something very powerful in the other translations as it relates to that, those verses. And I'll make a note of it when we get to it. But for tonight, you can certainly simply read it in the in the King James Version. So thank you for making that, for asking that. All right, God bless you. Let's get started. Verse number 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Junior Deacon Austin will read for us tonight.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God.
What an assurance it is to know that the Holy Spirit comes alongside. God's Spirit comes alongside us and manifests even greater when we are going through hard times. And it's so refreshing and encouraging to know that this is the function of the Comforter. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. The Comforter comes alongside to encourage us and to let us know that although we may be going through, we are not going through alone. The Comforter is there so that we can be assured that no matter what kind of trouble we face, that we are never facing it alone. And it is not only for partnership, but it is for empowerment. Somebody should write that in your notes. The Comforter's presence is not just for partnership, but for empowerment. Lord, have mercy. The Holy Ghost is talking to somebody on the line. I already feel it. And so we are encouraged. And the powerful dynamic here is that when we go through and are comforted in this fashion, through partnership and empowerment, through the presence of God and the power of God, we learn how to allow God to use us to minister in the same way to somebody else. Sometimes you need to be by someone's side and just be quiet. And you will learn that from your own experience. Sometimes you need to be there and hold a hand. And you will learn that from within your own experience. Whatever you are learning through the process of going through, and I'm not talking about the murmuring and the complaining part, because you know that ain't of God. And all that's going to do is mess you up in the process. But when you learn how to trust in the Comforter and allow the Comforter to minister to you, you will realize that the Holy Ghost really is something else. A lot of times, people try to get in the way of the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life. And what I mean by that, for example, is sometimes people will try to comfort you and try to coddle and try to, you know, kind of make it easy for you. You know, let me tell you something. Sometimes you have to let people go through stuff and not make it easy for them. Because the easier you make it in certain cases, and this is why you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. You make things easy for somebody, all you're doing is making it harder for them the next time they're going to face it. Because you may not be there. They've got to learn how to lean on the one who will always be there. Always. And this is the Comforter. This is the presence of God. This is why the Holy Ghost makes the difference. You cannot possibly do these things that God is talking to us about without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not just talking about making goals and achieving goals, because of course you don't need the Holy Spirit to achieve goals. I'm not talking about achieving goals here. I'm talking about getting a crown. I'm talking about being rapture ready. I'm talking about doing what no other power can do in your life, but the Holy Ghost power can do the job. Let's go on to verse number 15, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Sister Michelle Hobby.
Okay. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
You have to realize that what it looks like is not always what it is. The enemy will attack the child of God. And from the outside, it will look like, yep, we're troubled on every side, but on the inside, we're not distressed. There is pressure everywhere, but we're not crushed because there's something on the inside that's working in us. We are perplexed, sometimes unsure of finding a way out, but the scripture says not in despair, because our hope lieth within God. Persecuted, of course. Sometimes it seems like we are the focus and the object of attacks, and even so into such an extent that it's mind-boggling, because it's like, what in the world did I do to deserve this? The persecution comes. It doesn't necessarily come because you've done something bad. Sometimes it comes because you've done something right. You're doing something God. You're doing something powerful. But in the midst of that persecution, we understand that we do not stand alone. When others stand against us, God stands by our side. And then finally, the scripture says, cast down, but not destroyed. It may seem that what we're going through has brought us to our knees, but the power of that position is that in many cases, that's just where God wants you. And so while we may be struck down, there is a strength that comes out of that crushing moment. There's a strength that exudes from the child of God who knows their hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness, and that they dare not trust the sweetest frame, but they'll wholly lean on Jesus' name. And it's in those times when our face is to the ground that there is a name that we call that changes everything. That name is Jesus. Every knee shall bow, we are reminded of it. So we are quite at home on bended knees, because we are comfortable in that position, because that is the position where we often meet God. He dwells in the midst of our praise. And even if that praise is coming from eyes flooded with tears, the Lord will meet us at the point of our praise. And so it's powerful to consider that at the point where Paul is talking here, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, we're cast down, but we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. We are cast down, but we lift up our heads. O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory comes in. I'm talking about progressing through pain. How do you do this? This is how it's done, beloved. This is how it's done. Let's go on. Verse number 16, Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Dr. Marbury.
Nehemiah 4, 6 through 8. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sambalite and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wrath and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it.
It is extremely important that you understand from the pages of Holy Writ that opposition in the midst of success is not a foreign thing. Opposition in the midst of progress is not a foreign thing. Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing happened. This is a part of the plan. The enemy will always try to come. Here we are. Most of you are familiar with this passage where Nehemiah and the people of God have built the walls of Jerusalem. The wall was burned down. The city was in flames and tattered. And it came upon Nehemiah when he heard the word from his brethren to return to build the wall. God gave him, not only did God give him favor, but God gave him finances. God gave him assistance. God gave him the resources. God gave him everything he needed to get the job done, and they did it in short fashion. This particular text has been a hallmark text to encourage those who are doing a work for the Lord, that they came together as a team, and they were able to get the job done because the people had a mind, or they had their heart in it to get the job done. The people had a mind to work. And this is what you're going to have getting the job done. Getting it done in 21 is not about a set of emotional feelings. It's about a conviction. It's about a commitment. It's about understanding covenant blessings and covenant support. God is not going to leave you no matter who opposes you. Oh, God, you need to write this down with that. God will not leave you no matter who opposes you. It came to pass that Sanballat, Tobiah, you know, they heard about the work that was being done, and the word began to spread, because anytime you start doing something for God, word is going to get out. The word had gotten out, and all of their haters had an attitude. The Bible talks about it. They were absolutely furious. They had mocked the work. They had spoke ill of the work. They were very evil. And, you know, sometimes what happens is people will talk about what we're doing and make a mockery of it. And God hears everything that people say. People may mock the work that God has given us in this ministry. People may mock what's being done. People may even mock the leadership. But trust me, God hears every word of it. The Bible says here that even they conspired, all of them together, to come to fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. So there's going to be some that will actually, believe it or not, they will actually scheme. And you have to be careful, because words of dissent feed into the scheme. Words of dissent feed into the devil's scheme. And so you can be planting. You better be careful what comes out of your mouth, because it's going to come back to you. You plant seeds of dissent, it will sow a seed into somebody's mind about schemes, and you better be careful, because you're going to reap what you sow. Even things that are done in the dark, God is going to bring it to the light. And so it's you just need to do, you need to sow good seeds. So let's go on. Thank you. That was verse number 16. Now we go on to verse number 17, which is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9. Through 15. Again, this is verse number 17, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 15. I hope you all are getting something out of this tonight. Come on, let's go, Sister Zoe.
1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, reads, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specifically of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the sayings on, with the laying on of hands of, I'm sorry, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Mm-hmm. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all.
All right. Thank you, dear. Yeah, no sometimes problem. You get one word, you get tongue-tied on one word, and it just throws you off for the rest. I've been there. All right. So here we have the Apostle Paul admonishing his protege, Timothy. And again, let's understand, you've got to learn how to make progress through the pain. Paul tells Timothy here that this is faithful stuff. This is truthful stuff. This is the kind of instruction that you should wholeheartedly accept, embrace it. This is teaching. This is sound teaching that you need to embrace and even use this as positive biblical counsel for other followers in Jesus' name. Paul says, you know, there's a reason why we labor and we go through. We suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So, yeah, just because we say we believe God, it doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer. We're going to go through. This is what even the prophets went through, those of the Old Testament and even those of the New Testament. You know that some of the New Testament figures, Peter was crucified upside down. The Apostle John died of old age. The Apostle Paul was beheaded. Some of the, Deacon Stephen was stoned to death. So there were many Christian martyrs in the days of the New Testament. Even in the book of Revelation, it talks about how Nero, as the king, would do some despicable things. And what we find out in history and in antiquity is that what he did was he actually tied Christians, those that were professing Christians, he would tie them to poles, tie them to stakes, and he would have them strewn throughout a path where they would have chariot races. And on occasion, what he would do is he would light up those Christians tied to the poles as the chariots were riding through the streets in their races. Other times, professing Christians, these are Christians that held on to their confession, were thrown to lions and torn to pieces for their faith. We suffer. Many of you feel that the things you're going through is unbearable. Take a second look. It may be bad, but it's not as bad as you think. None of you have been tied to a stake to be lit up. None of you have been thrown into an arena of lions. As a matter of fact, the scripture says, for much of us, we have not resisted unto blood. In other words, where we, because of our faith, had to shed blood in defense of the gospel. Not many on this line have. Maybe not any on this line have. I do remember being assaulted at our first building when we were there. So your pastor has had an experience of being assaulted for the cause of Christ. But that's not anything that I put on a flag and wave around to say this happened, that happened. I'm sharing this with you because you must learn how to progress through the pain. Paul says, command these things and teach. In other words, these are things that you must do. I, as your pastor, am charged to tell you what you must do. And what Paul tells Timothy is to command everybody, teaching them these things. Let no one look down on you because of your youth. But be an example, in other words, a pattern. Write that down with this verse. Paul is telling Timothy to be a pattern. when the example is not a one-time thing, it's a pattern. And for those of you that are seamstresses or tailors or have any familiarity with using patterns, patterns allow you to come to the outcome of what is desired. The pattern helps you stay on track until the end. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know who I'm talking to on this line right now, but you are to be a pattern so that you will come out at the end the way God has designed it. God is the pattern maker. We are the pattern followers. God has set the pattern. Woo! My God, God has set the pattern for us, and the pattern is Jesus. So what we are called to do is to be followers and emulate Christ. Let no man despise you. And this was a pet scripture of mine as a young minister growing up in the church, as a young person in the church. And particularly, it has so much relevance to me as a young minister as well. But this applies to all of us. Let no one look down on you, whether it's because of your youth or because of the short time that you have walked with God, but be a pattern of what believers look like. Pattern speech, pattern conduct, pattern love, patterned attitude, patterned attitude, patterned faith, P-A-T-T-E-R-N, a pattern of faith, a pattern of moral and pure conduct. Paul goes on to tell Timothy, until I come, give attendance to read. In other words, put this into practice, public reading of scriptures, the preaching and the teaching of sound doctrine. This was what Paul told Timothy to do. This is what your pastor is doing now, because God's word is the pattern. And to put this in your spirit is to empower you for what will come. You cannot stop the pain from coming. You can't stop the pain. Whatever pain is going to come, you cannot stop it. And there are some that want to become, they want to become dull to it. They want to dull the pain. And all that is trying to mask the feeling, but not dealing with the source. Oh, God, y'all pray for me tonight. Paul tells Timothy to not neglect the gift. I want you to understand, it shall be done in 21. If you stay true to the direction that God has given me, because you're going to know how true you are to it. And that's the thing about operating in the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to deal with the truth of whether you're obedient to this direction or not. If you stand firm and hold fast to this, you will see clearly where your gifts are. You are going to find out where your gifts are. You are going to discover where gifts are been placed in you. Neglect not the gift. Don't put it on the side. Don't diminish it or think ill of it. Your gifting is powerful. Oh, God, you need to put that in your notes. My gifting is powerful. My gifting is so powerful, it's a threat to the devil. Your anointing is so powerful that it's threatening. Lord, have mercy. Timothy is advised to meditate on these things. This is very much like what God told Joshua. Y'all remember from Joshua chapter 1. Excuse me. God told Joshua, "This book of the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night. For therein shall thou make thy way prosperous, and therein shall thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage." That's Joshua chapter 1. You read Joshua chapter 1 and you'll see that this word of exhortation was not just first shared with Timothy. This type of word, this type of command and instruction was shared in Joshua, in the Old Testament. So this admonition is not dispensational. In other words, it doesn't have relevance in one dispensation and then not have relevance in another. There are some teachings that are dispensational teachings. For example, the Mosaic law and the offerings and the systems of the Levitical ordinances were for the time of that dispensation under the law. Under grace, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all of those ordinances, all of those sacrifices, the entire Levitical priesthood. Jesus is the fulfillment of it. And because that's the fact, we don't have to go back unto the Old Testament system of offering animal sacrifices. So this is an example of dispensational truth. It's not that it wasn't true. It was true then. But we see in the New Testament that Jesus is the fulfillment of it. Hebrews is the book to read, and you can see all about what God shares concerning the priesthood, the tabernacle, the offerings, how that Jesus is the substance, and all of those other things were the shadow of it. He's the substance. And so Paul says, think on these things. Paul tells the general body in Philippians, he tells the saints at Philippi to think on these things. You got to know where to put your mind. Because where you put your mind is going to affect where you go. Your mind and your heart is going to affect your feet. Your mind and your heart will affect your feet. When Paul tells the believer, after having done all to stand, he's not just talking about what they do with their feet. He's telling them what they have to do first with their mind. That helmet of salvation, you've got to have your head right. A lot of believers mess up because their head is wrong. Their head is wrong. And when the head is wrong, the body can't be right. This is why we have to have the mind of Christ. Let's go on. Verse number 18, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. I hope y'all are getting something out of this because I sure am. Verse number 18, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 6 through 7, Sister McCollum.
Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
This is so powerful. And although it has application specifically to the admonitions of a senior minister to a junior minister, this has applications to every believer. God has put something inside of you. God has put his spirit in you. You may not have had anybody lay hands on you, but you certainly got somebody living on the inside of you. And that somebody is God. It's God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. And whereas Paul may be talking to Timothy along the lines of that which is ecclesiastical, because 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus make up the pastoral epistles, if you will, the letters that were written by the Apostle Paul to men who were ministers in the body of Christ. And so there's a lot of instruction there for ministers, and any minister that will grow will commit themselves to the teachings and the concepts and the principles of these three small books, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. But it has wider application for the believer because it speaks to us concerning the anointing. And with the anointing comes the breaking of every yoke. Hear me. The flame of your gift represents the presence of God. represents the anointing of God. And that anointing destroys every yoke. You, through the Holy Spirit, have yoke-breaking power, even over the spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear. He has given you the spirit of power. He has given you the spirit of love. And he has given you the spirit of sound judgment. He has given you the spirit of personal discipline. Mm-hmm. These are the things that result in a calm and well-balanced mind and self-control. The devil can't make you do anything. He doesn't have that kind of power. He might have had influence when you didn't have the Holy Spirit because you were out there doing your thing. In the Holy Ghost, sin can be present, but it has no dominion over you. Just because you were around something or somebody and they start acting sinful and crazy and stupid, it doesn't mean you have to follow. Because you are following after God. Because you're fitting a pattern. The pattern of Jesus. And so, beloved, understand that there are side influences. There are side influences that will try to get you off track. And this is why Paul had to tell Timothy, remember. I'm putting you in remembrance. Remember. Remember that you have been anointed. Remember that you have been chosen. Remember that you have been blessed. Remember that you are a child of God. Remember, remember. Put that in your note. When you are going through the pain, remember. Remember what God has done. Keep your fire hot. Ooh, God have mercy. Keep your fire hot. It's easy to tell when somebody's fire is being affected. And you got to learn that your feelings, they corroborate your humanity. They underscore the fact of your humanity, but you are not called to live by your feelings. You're called to walk by faith. And there's going to be some times in your walk where you're going to have to discipline yourself to give God what he's worthy of, despite what you're feeling. I know that the feeling can be real and the feelings can be present, but God is great. And he is greater. Greater is he that is in us. The scriptures don't say that the believer won't be tried and tested. It even goes so far as to say that God can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, being tempted at all points like we are. God can identify. He identifies with us through Jesus. Jesus is the link between us and God. Whew. It represents the divinity to humanity, and it represents the human need to an infinite divine God. It is the link between humanity and divinity. This is why I love him so, because he's so real. Jesus is real. Lord have mercy. Let's go on here. 19, verse number 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. Oh, Before we go off of this, am I right? Yep, yeah, we're good. The 19th verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. That's Sister Kaylee.
First Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 13, read as such. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built it thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
This is a very powerful passage of scripture. Very powerful. I want you to understand that what you are being instructed to do right now is bringing you in line for what God has for you to do and what you are going to be doing to bring glory to the kingdom of God through the gifting and the anointing that's on your life. And you need to understand that there will come a time when we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and our works will be scrutinized. Our works will be evaluated. Every work or everything that you do in your life, from the time that you are saved, God is looking for quality. He's looking for growth. And each of us have a servant assignment. Oh, God. It doesn't matter whether you wear a collar, a cape. It don't matter whether you wear a blouse or a shirt. Every one of us has a servant assignment. And you have to understand that you are responsible for accomplishing your assignment. The gift that God has given us, every one of us has an area, a gifting. And I'm going to read this passage to you in the Message translation. It says, let me put it in another way. You are God's building. Using the gift God gave me as a good architect, I designed blueprints. Apollos is putting up the walls. Let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there is only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there was going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you will be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but barely. It is so important to know that your work is going to be tested and tried by God. There were those that in the New Testament, Jesus was talking about a story about a wedding banquet and how people were invited to come to the banquet. They came, and then there were some others that came, and they were knocking at the door, and they were saying, open up unto us, open up unto us. We have gone and prophesied in your name. We have gone and fed the hungry and clothed the naked. We've done this and that in your name. And the Bible says that the master comes and says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That is not a place you want to be. And so you must do the pre-inspection. Sometimes God will use your pastor as the pre-inspector, because you have to understand God wants quality. not excuses. And this charge to us in 2021, this is going to be one of the most powerful experiences if you follow it. Let me tell you why. Because I don't want you to confuse motion with progress. God help me on this line tonight. A rocking horse makes motion, but it doesn't go anywhere. The hamster on the wheel is motion, but it's no progress. Some folks are the hamster. Some are in the rocket chair. Motion, but no progress. Don't let that be any of you. Nobody ever did or ever will escape the consequences of their choices when it comes down to being obedient to God's will. You must stay with God. There is no force on this planet that can take you out of God's will when you have the Holy Spirit. It ain't possible. It ain't possible. We are admonished to strive for perfection, laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus. Again, the pattern. He is the pattern for our lives. And whereas we're living in a society today that's making every excuse for living holy, every excuse for living with integrity, every excuse as a reason why people can't make progress. The devil is a liar. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You shall have power. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Remember, remind yourself. Let's go to the last verse. I pray that you all are getting something out of this. This is so important. I cannot stress the importance of this, not just from the principle concept, not just from the concept of it, but from the practice of it. This is something that you are going to be empowered with. And if you follow this, your life will change. You will release the anointing that is in you. Some people don't know. They wonder, how do I do it? How do I do it? How do I do it? This is how it's done. How do I keep going forward in the midst of adversity? I've given you 20 verses. Take your Holy Ghost medicine. Let's go on to the last verse. Verse number 20 is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. Mother T, our precious Mother Audrey Thompson.
2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be acceptable of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
All of us will be called to give an account, and we must appear. There will be no coming late to this appearance. There will be no rescheduling this appearance. We all must come and appear before the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ, so that each one will receive their payment for what they've done in this body. The Lord will hold you responsible for your actions, your purposes, your goals and your motives, because they come from your heart, your actions, your purposes, the idea behind the thing, your goals, your motives. He will hold us accountable for the use or the misuse of our time, our treasure, and our talents. Either the use or the misuse, because some are not using them according to God's design. You remember the Apostle Paul made an example when there were some that were preaching Christ for various purposes, various reasons, and Paul said, well, as long as they're preaching Christ, you know, leave them alone. You know, the word will get out and they'll get what's coming to them. You remember the disciples told Jesus, you know, that there were some that were going a different way and they weren't following exactly what the disciples were doing. And Jesus told them, he said, listen, if they're not against me, then they're for me. Don't worry about them. You know, don't worry about them. There was a time when Jesus made a statement and it suggested that John would never die. And the disciples were there, they listened to it, and they asked a question concerning John. And Jesus said, mind your business. He said, don't worry about John. You need to focus on what you're doing. And that's so important, because oftentimes people get distracted from what God's given them to do because they're focusing on what others are doing. You can't control what others do. And sometimes a person might lose their sense of what's possible. Don't lose your sense of what's possible. But if you do lose your sense of what's possible, the possibilities, guess what? There are people on this line right here to encourage you to look to God to get your sense of what's possible back. Your sense of what is possible is called purpose. And it comes from God. And it is your active relationship with God that brings it out. I pray that you have received something from God in this lesson tonight. And I understand that all of us, for all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, must suffer persecution. And so as we bring this particular lesson to a close, let us punctuate it with our prayers, understanding that our brothers and sisters go through. But tonight we are here to encourage each other, because we all have a stake in one another. We all have a investment in what's going on in each of our lives, because we are a body. And as long as we stand together, nothing can tear us apart and nothing can stop us from accomplishing the corporate goals that God has for us. This is not just about individual accomplishment. This is laying the foundation for powerful productivity on a corporate level. Understand your place in the body. Your gifting has you in a particular place. Your anointing has you in a particular place. And everyone in this ministry plays a part in its future. Don't you ever let the devil lie to you that you don't matter in this ministry, or that there's something that God has greater. Careful with that. Be very careful with that. Because sometimes that's the spirit of restlessness. It can be the spirit of moving forward. Absolutely. But you need to discern, because the Holy Ghost will let you know which one it is. The Holy Spirit will expose everything that needs to be exposed. The spirit of truth will bring to light the spirit of error. And so tonight, let us bring this call to a close by calling forth the prayer leaders who will come and lead us to the throne of grace. There are three who have been set aside for this night from the brotherhood, from the sisterhood, and the young people. And I'm going to ask that those individuals in that order would prepare to lead us to the throne of grace, from the men to the women to the youth. Please prepare yourselves, unmute yourselves, and let us go before the throne of God in Jesus' name.
Father God, we honor you, we bless you, we glorify you. We thank you, O God, for this time we spent in your word, Father God. I thank you for our bishop. I thank you for our pastor, how he's poured into us, how he took the time to open up the word of God and share with us the meaning, oh God, and how to apply your word, oh God, and what it means to go through, even though we may be in pain, even though we may hurt, even though we may not be understanding of everything, even though we may be confused, oh God, about some of the things that we go through. Lord, your word gives us direction. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light into our pathway. And so, Lord, help us to hold on. Help us, oh God, to go forward. Help us to not just make movements, but to make progress, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh God, to look to you, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, oh Father God. I'm covering everyone that's on this line. I'm interceding on everyone that's on this line right now. In the name of Jesus, help us to move forward and make progress in our relationship with you, in our purpose, in the things that you have created us and called us to do. I'm praying against stagnation, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I'm praying against restlessness, oh God, but put a fire in our hearts, put a fire in our spirits, put a fire under us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and even burn up anything that's not like you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Any type of convictions, any type of thoughts, oh God, any type of purposes that are not like you, burn it up with fire in the name of Jesus, and purify us, purify our heart, purify our intentions, purify our convictions, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Gracious God, our Father, we come to you just to say thank you, and we praise you for all that you are to us. You, God, are our Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end, our first and our last. We praise you for that. No good thing that you will keep from us. Lord, circumcise our heart. Renew a right spirit within us. I speak faith over who hears under the sound of my voice, that you're going to go do a mighty thing in us, oh God. You're going to fight every battle for us, because we know that we are more than conquerors. We are victorious. We pray, Lord God, healing over this land. Bishop Michael, Lady Michael, everyone that is dealing with any conditions, Lord. You said in your word, Lord God, to cast our cares upon you, because you care for us. We thank you that you have not forsaken us and you laid down your life for us. Lord, we ask that you bless Bishop Michael. Pour your oil over him. Renew his strength. Bless him, Lord God, as he teaches us your word, that your word that we're hid in our heart, that we might not sin against you, Lord God. God, we thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. We call those things as though they're not, as though they were. We stand on your promises, Lord God, as we look to the hills of which cometh our help, because all our help cometh from thee and thee alone. This night, Lord God, we submit and humble ourselves to your word and you will and your will, for it is not nothing so great that we have done, for it is your grace over our lives, and we thank you, for we are progressing through the pain, and we shall, and it shall be done in 21. We thank you, and we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, because let your will be done, and we thank you right now. We pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. God, we thank you for your teaching. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your presence that brings wisdom, that brings love, that brings understanding, oh Lord. Lord, let the words that have gone forth tonight, Lord, take root in our heart, Lord, so we can bear fruit to it. Lord, I thank you for your manservant who brought forth this word, oh Lord. Lord, may you replenish him as well, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for our moments of weakness in which your strength can shine through, oh God. Lord, I thank you for those moments that we were brought to our knees, oh Lord. Lord, those moments where we had to stand and endure, oh Lord, but you could take precedent and shine through, oh God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us and allowing this pain to develop us into our ministries and into who and what you need us to be, oh God. Lord, position us so that we as your children can execute and do exactly what you need us to do, oh Lord. Lord, allow us to be in position, oh Lord. Lord, let us ready ourselves, oh God, so that we can serve your kingdom better, oh God. Lord, as we fight through this pain, Lord, we give it to you, Lord, because you can understand, Lord. You can relate to it, Lord, and in the midst of our pain, you are there, Lord. You offer us your love. You offer us your comfort, your wisdom, and your understanding, oh Lord. Lord, I pray that everyone who is in this situation of pain and adversity, and everyone who is struggling right now, Lord, everyone who is in a situation, Lord, where they don't see the end, oh Lord, where they are confused, oh Lord, where their hearts are heavy and overcome with sorrow, God, Lord, I pray that in that situation, Lord, whatever lesson you need us to get from it, we retain it, oh God. Lord, what you are showing us, Lord, I pray that we see it, Lord. What you are telling us, I pray that we hear it, oh Lord. Lord, I pray that we take heed to your word in this moment, oh God. Lord, we know that you are a God that understands and sees everything. Your word will not leave your mouth and return back unto you void, Lord. So, Lord, any and everything that you have for us as your children, oh God. Lord, I pray that we as your people grab it, oh God. Lord, I pray that our hearts in this time, Lord, draw near to you, Lord. You said that you are close to the brokenhearted, oh God. Lord, everyone who is struggling right now, Lord, wrap your arms around them, oh God. Lord, in this time of suffering, in this time of pain, Lord, in this time where we have to have endurance and stand, oh Lord. Lord, be with us, oh God. Lord, as we go up this mountain, oh Lord, we don't ask you to move it, oh Lord, but let us feel your presence, Lord, as we walk, oh God. Lord, hold my hand, oh God. Lord, when I don't see you, Lord, but let me feel you, Lord. That's what I ask for. That's what I pray for, Lord. I don't pray that you end their test early, Lord, but I pray that you walk with them, oh Lord. You promise never to leave us nor forsake us, oh God. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I pray that you continue to walk with us, Lord, because you are a faithful God. You are a consistent God, Lord. You are a God who your word will never change, oh God. So, Lord, I simply remind you of your word, oh God. Lord, I'm simply reminding you of your promise, oh God. Lord, you promised us victory, oh God. Lord, you told us that it would be okay in the end, oh Lord. So, Lord, in this time where we are in pain, oh God, in this time where we might have to endure for the night, Lord, I lean on your promises, oh God. I lean on your word that is faithful and true. I lean on your word that shall never change, oh God, that in the morning my joy shall come, oh God, that as I lay my head and I lift it in the morning, my tears will be dried, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm trusting in you and in Jesus' precious and mighty name. I pray, amen and amen.
Father, tonight we come because there's a press in our spirit. Tonight, Father, we have come because there was a yearning and a burning in our soul. Lord God, and where there may have not been enough burning tonight, Lord God, we ask that a fire would be set upon us. We ask that the fire of the anointing would be stirred within our hearts as we give our praise to you. Lord, we lift our hearts to you. Despite the adversities and trials that are inevitable for those that put you first, we know, Lord God, that the flesh doesn't like it. And because of that, the flesh will rebel. We know that the devil doesn't like it. And because of that, the devil will resist. But Lord, despite the spirit of rebellion, despite the spirit that would resist, Lord God, we will rise tonight in you because we press. God, Lord, I pray over this crowd. I pray over this congregation. I pray over this community in the matchless name of Jesus. Lord, as the watchman that you have placed on the wall, we have challenged this, your people. We have given them your word. We bless you now, oh God, because as the word has gone forth, I thank you that the word will catch the flame. The word will cause the fire. The word will stir up the soul. Hey, God, let the word be like fire Shut up in our bones in the name of Jesus. Breathe upon us afresh. Lord God, let your fresh waters shower us, Lord God, like the dew in the morning. Oh God, we thank you and we choose you tonight. We choose your will. We choose your word. We will hold fast to that which you have given us in your word. I thank you, Lord, that this is the army that rises in power. This is the army that rises in anointing. Lord, this is the army that will embrace the charge and the call. It's onward ever and backwards never. It shall be done in 21. What you have anointed us to do, what you have appointed us to do, what you have given us in your word and even directed us in the selection of goals for this part of the year, we believe that a foundation is being laid that will bless for generations. Let us not look just on the things of our own, but let us look upon the things of others. Our brothers and sisters are here tonight. Our family and friends are here tonight. Lord God, the saints of God are here tonight. The visitors are here tonight. And somebody right now, tonight, they need a word from you. They need to be reminded that they're labors are not in vain. They need to be reminded that their prayers are being heard. They need to be reminded that if God be for us, who can be against us? And so tonight, we thank you for this series of lessons on progressing through the pain. We thank you for these 20 verses that you have given us, Lord God, to guide us through this journey. We thank you that you've not just given us the word, you've given us yourself, for the word is God. And I thank you tonight for the healing that's being manifested. I thank you tonight for the joy that's being poured out, the oil of joy. Oh God, I thank you for the garment of praise that you've given, Lord God, tonight, for every attitude and for every thought process and every action that goes outside of your will. Tonight, we repent of it, Lord. We come to you with the spirit of repentance. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, with the spirit of repentance. Hallelujah. Oh God, I hear your spirit calling us, even the household of faith, to repentance. God, for judgment must first begin at the house of God. And if it begins here, where will the sinner stand? And so tonight, Lord God, we know that you have not called us for a season. You've not called us for a moment. You've called us to this great walk with you that will take us into all eternity. And so we don't look just at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are permanent. And so, Lord God, I pray that you will help us to trust the spirit of permanence, that which will last, the quality that is necessary for something to last, the effort that is required. And tonight, I thank you. There are people on this line that have been working their craft for years, working in their skill set for decades. And Lord, their lives are the evidence that consistency pays off, that stick-to-itiveness has a value. And it has a reward, aside from a work ethic and personal level of satisfaction, that there are rewards that go along with it. And so, Lord, help us to see the simple connection between investing ourselves in you as much as we've invested ourselves in other things, for realizing that the benefit of investing ourselves in you is far greater than anything we could ever ask or think. And so the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. And so, Father, I commit these precious souls into your hands. I put you in remembrance. I put you in remembrance and I plead together. You said, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. I declare your word over these precious hearts. I declare your word over every man on this line, over every woman on this line, over every young person. I declare your word over them, Father. And I thank you for your mercies upon us. For yes, you are the Lord. And beside you, there is no Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, God, bless tonight. I commit them into your hands, these that are here and those that will hear this, in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, one and all. God bless you, young and old. God bless you, man, woman, boy and girl. God bless you, single person. God bless you, married person. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Progressing through the pain in Jesus' name. God bless you until we meet again next time in the name of the Lord. God bless you. Enjoy this devotional song as we bring the call to an end.